and welcome to another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris Action Horse McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me to discuss Boss Fight Studio Mighty Steed's Kickstarter reaching its initial funding goal are Eric, the Rainbow Poonicorn Aranya, and Andrew Meat Socks Franks. No one will understand that one. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. So, just moments ago, Boss Fight Studio successfully reached their first initial funding goal of $125,000 for the Vitruvian Hack's Mighty Steeds project, and it's all very exciting. We have wrangled Eric and Andrew from the team to have a quick chat about this. First off, guys, congratulations. You've managed to hit the goal pretty early in the project so far, so now the focus becomes the stretch goals. You must be very happy with the progress. How do you feel about the campaign so far?
Woo!
I mean, it's not like it's not locked in as such, but I mean, we can, you know, you've hit that funding goal. It's not like, I mean, people can pull out and stuff, I suppose, but still at this stage, that must be pretty impressive to have hit that point or at this, you know, already at this point.
Yeah, it you know, people can pull out, and I want to say our original Kickstarter went past the initial funding goal and then dropped below it like the next day for a couple of hours and then went back up.
Yeah.
Like, so it does happen. It does actually, it's really common when it first gets past that. We're also, in addition to just, you know, making goal, we're also very close to unlocking Sugar Skull.
Woohoo!
The DLM Mortar
horse.
So you know, that's exciting. And then the first horse stretch goal after the 125 is, of course, Sox, the brown and white and black horse. So it should be exciting to get to those as well.
Have you guys got have you got Eric Ridlon ready to start painting up some that Deirdre Muertos one? He must be hating you for that.
No, he's actually really excited about painting it.
Awesome.
His only request is that he gets to paint both. Up until now, we've been moving so fast on this, he has not been able to paint two. Like, we normally do two paint masters. We do one to send to China and one to keep.
Yeah.
To go to, you know, promote at conventions and stuff like that. This time we've been moving so fast, he has not been able to paint two of anything yet. But his only request on the Sugar Skull was that he gets to paint both at the same time, because mimicking that paint job a second time, doing it all at once.
Yeah, it would to me, that makes sense that you do a layer for each using the same paint, yeah. And then, yeah, that would make a hell of a lot of sense. And the way that Eric works as well, I mean, how the guy's incredible. Like, he's an amazing artist, a fantastic painter.
What he's all right.
No, he's beyond exceptional. What time is he cranking them out at? Because I mean, there's a lot still to be done, even with the kind of minimal deco ones, isn't there? Like Socks and Shield and Smoke.
The interesting thing is they're actually comparatively quick to paint compared with most of our figures, because sort of if you look at the overall labor of painting the horse versus painting one of our figures, there's a lot fewer color breaks. You're mostly spraying it one color. Now, obviously, the Sugar Skull is going to be a little bit different, but but yeah, it's kind of amazing how quick he's been able to turn them around. One day, boom, he's got one done. So.
Awesome, and they look beautiful. So talking about Shield, Smoke, and Socks, you've revealed those fully painted characters so far. Will we be seeing more of those reveals as the campaign continues, other than Sugar Skull? Are we going to be seeing them kind of trickled out as stretch goals are released, or are you going to be cranking them out really fast?
Eric, you're going to be doing horse trickling or horse cranking?
Either way would be very interesting to watch.
We are getting the parts printed and cast in the proper materials as fast as we can, and as we get them done, we basically hand them to Eric for him to paint. Like, it is happening very quick, so we're actually just waiting for parts most of the time. The next one we'll be showing is the unicorn, Sarah Francis, and then after that we're gonna focus on the remaining pieces of the primary part of the Kickstarter, which is the Australian saddle and the rancher kit, and the Roman saddle and the Roman gear kit. as well. So we'll be focusing on those probably even before we focus on Sugar Skull, even though Sugar Skull will, well, Sugar Skull won't be unlocked first. They technically are unlocked now. So
yeah, I see. Yeah.
We kind of need to reorder the stuff, but we are also kind of going in the order that we're getting things printed and cast, because sometimes something gets printed and it's not working. So we have to go back and tweak the sculpt and reprint it. So every once in a while, you know, these things kind of, we have to reorder and play it by ear as we're going. By the end of the Kickstarter, we should have everything printed and paint masters done. Current schedule is that by day 45 of the Kickstarter, we will be ready to pack up a box and ship it to, of all our paint masters and tooling samples and everything.
I see.
And ship it. China.
So that all goes in one go then?
Yeah, pretty much. The way we may send paint masters like a couple weeks later, because it takes a little more than a month to cut the tools, the steel tools. So we may hold the just to not confuse the situation, just as a streamline, we may send paint masters a few weeks later.
Yeah.
But we also might just send it all at once. Yeah.
So when the factory get them, is it a case of... I mean, how many people are involved in that factory setup? Because, I mean, we've seen images before of images and video of Dave Proctor on the ground floor helping run the show a little bit. Now, in terms of the factory kind of point of view, once we get to the end of this Kickstarter, you send all that stuff off. I mean, are you aware of the process they go through from that point? I mean, is it something that they've been really kind of open with you about exactly the process that goes on? Or is this something that Dave has seen, you know, being on the ground all the way there? I mean, what kind of things do they have to go through once they get those paint masters?
Well, the first step they have to do is the tooling hard copy, is they get the tooling hard copies and they have to cut the steel tools for the pieces.
So do they make molds around what you've sent them?
Yeah.
I see.
And then after that, they would get the paint masters, and then they have to kind of go through, and, you know, with the tooling is a process to begin with, because sometimes they come back to us and say, we can't really do this, and we have to tweak the engineering of the piece.
Yeah.
We got too thin with the walls, with the wall thickness, or we engineered something that when they really look at it, they're like, this isn't really going to work the way we have to change this or change this or add lips to this, like an edge to this to make it like together better or something like that. So there is like a little bit of engineering back and forth before the tooling begins, and then the tooling happens, and even then we have to tweak stuff after that sometimes. Like we get the sense, so we're like, this isn't working, we have to change this.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really interested to see how it progresses from this point on, because I mean, you know, like you say, usually when you start that Kickstarter, there's like a big, you know, there's a real like spike, a real like interest. Everyone's jumping on it. All of the people that have been kind of anticipating it kind of get in there as soon as they can. I think it was a genius move to do that $10 off all in option as well. That was a really good idea. And I think that had an effect as well in getting that kind of number as high as it could be early on. It kind of did kind of peak, didn't it, for a little while, and just kind of was just slowly moving forward, really slow down a bit. And then I felt like there's been, since after Easter, I feel there's been another kind of boost, and it's kind of like kicking back up again. Have you noticed that spike a little bit?
Yeah, there's been a spike in the past like week or so. We did a number of updates with the painted horses that we've had, and you know, we are online pushing it and paying for ads on websites and stuff like that, so that, you know, that's a big part of that.
Yeah.
At first we were in a way sort of deliberately holding a degree of outreach back, because you know, we just wanted to, you know, let's see what we can get initially more organically.
Yeah.
And the outreach that takes more work and the paid ads and stuff like that, we'll hold that for the middle portion so we can sort of keep up the pace of new people coming in and new dollars coming in.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so yeah, I don't want to kind of get into too much about what your expectations are, because that's not fair. But, I mean, you guys must be pretty excited about unlocking some of these stretch goals now. Do you feel there's going to be a spot where you're all of a sudden you've run out of stretch goals and you're having to use backup? Do you think that's going to be the case?
There's been some planning, definitely, for loose planning,
yeah,
for later on if it goes past what we've got there already. But, you know, we're definitely not going to be revealing that before the time comes.
We want
to make sure that if we get to that point, it's these things end up being a really cool surprise.
Well, I hope it does absolutely amazing. And I'm really proud of you guys for hitting 125 so early, really. What feels so early. I mean, that first couple of days that you were up, I was absolutely astounded at how much had been generated in that short period of time. Was it a bigger number than the same time in the Kickstarter for the hacks in the first couple of days? Was it breaking records, or was it around the same number?
It way outpaced the first one.
Yeah.
Do you remember sort of to some of the degree, Eric?
I do not. In fact, I don't even remember. I want to say we've been up for 14 days now.
Yeah.
And I want to say on the other Kickstarter, we had hit our goal already. But our goal was lower.
Yeah.
Way more items in the other one, too.
Yeah, way more, smaller items. Like, but
yeah, I suppose you can't really compare. It's like apples and oranges in a way with this one. But it's good that kind of, I suppose, that buzz and that kind of momentum is still there, you know, in a Kickstarter campaign for you guys who have already run a successful Kickstarter campaign. So you just know that at least it's almost like you've generated a pretty solid backing of, you know, fans and people that are interested in this area of toys. And it's nice to know that that's kind of continuing with this, which is effectively like a much more ambitious kind of thing, even though the figures that you'd made prior in the first Kickstarter, there was a lot. I mean, the ambition came in the amount of just items that were involved, and I think the factory felt that ambition quite strong as well, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, in this terms, it's a way more ambitious project in that the product is bigger, kind of a bit more complicated to kind of get right. Balance is an issue here, like in a way that isn't. Is a different way. It's a different issue in the figures, you know. Like the horse gives you so many more different challenges. Yet I feel like people are still really up for getting hold of this. I mean, I suppose that's why it is. It's so different and complicated and beautiful and quality that people are throwing their money at it now. So, you know, hopefully we can get those stretch goals unlocked. That's what I'm kind of looking at now. I mean, I'm looking at the Centaur level and thinking, come on, we've got to get there. We've got to get that Centaur kit sorted.
The horse has been an engineering challenge for everybody involved. In fact, I think it was last Friday, Fred, Dave, and I were doing sketches on the whiteboard at work in the conference room on tweaking the design for the engineering for the way that the wings connect,
yeah,
for the Pegasus and stuff like that. Like, it just, and every time like one of us would say something, one of us would go, oh, but that's going to cause this issue or that issue. Like, it is like this creature shape is something that we, you know, there's only been like two or three really highly articulated horse toys.
Yeah.
It, you know, and we have them at work and we mess with them and we see how they did it. And we're trying to tweak it from the way we want to do it. And it is just, it's an engineering challenge because it's, everybody is going to do it differently.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to look at a different thing is more important than the other.
Yeah like they want the aesthetics more important than like the articulation here. And I suppose you guys are trying to find that balance between the two, aren't you?
I mean, we're always trying to find that balance. It's always a challenge to find it. So
awesome. Well, longtime listener and convicted horse rustler Paddy O'McLennany Blarney Stone has asked if we might see Shergar appearing as a further stretch goal. They've already mentioned, Paddy, that they're not going to be giving away any hints as to what's beyond the stretch goals. So stop asking, you little Irish. I'm just kidding. I love that.
I would like to point out once again that nobody in America knows who Shergar is.
You will know who Shergar is if you listen to this show. I did a comprehensive visual breakdown whilst Paddy and Brian discussed all of the finer elements of him, and you can view that visual breakdown on one of our many videos on the Full Force YouTube channel. Anyway, Enough of my plugging. Guys, you must it must be an element of relief in this as well, about hitting that initial goal. I know obviously we're not finished yet, but there must be some part of you that goes, oh, there we go. At least we've hit that initial goal. Now we can kind of focus on stressing out about reaching these stress goals.
You might as well call them stress goals.
Yeah, that's still the same thing, really.
Freudian slip. But I mean, there is an element of relief there, right?
For sure. It's always good to know that you're going to be able to pay for the product you're promising to deliver.
Well, and it's also, you know, it's an important psychological barrier for some people, because as silly as it is, you know, when you're running a crowdfunding campaign, you find that there are people who won't go in.
Yeah.
Until it's reached its initial funding, or
yeah,
you know, they'll be waiting for milestones for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's the psychological side of it, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah, and so now that we've surpassed that initial funding, I suspect we'll see, you know, sort of an influx of more people going, all right, well, this is really happening.
Yeah,
so
it's happening.
Yeah,
I think there is a definite psychological thing there. I think I used to have that with the Kickstarter project, and it's because it's unknown to you. You don't really know fully how things operate until you've done a couple of these Kickstarters. And when you kind of go in first, you know, first off straight in, you realize that it's exactly the same as waiting till the end and going in then. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just that you feel better about the whole process. You feel like there's more value to it now that it's gone beyond the stretch goals or something along those lines. So you think, okay, well, if I'm putting my money in now, I'm actually getting way more than you know, I would have gotten just getting the all-in package. So I think that mindset's always there with people. I think when it hits funding, now at this point on, you're going to start seeing a much... Because, I mean, we've just literally recorded this as you've hit the goal. Congratulations, by the way. So, I mean, I could see this now that a lot of people are seeing it's reached the funding goal, just blowing up and just, you know, throwing money at it. And I think we'll see that happen now in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, guys. Really awesome news. We'll be doing, obviously, one of these kind of shows. We're not sure how yet. We were thinking of doing like a little live party countdown type thing for the end of the Kickstarter. But we will obviously keep everyone up to date on how that will sound. So, yeah, thank you for joining me today, guys. And really, congratulations on hitting that goal.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody who's contributed to it.
Yes, your support is so great and so important.
Yep.
Apart from Paddy O'McLennan Blarney Stone, he can go f*** himself. I'm just kidding. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Eric and Andrew, or guests, I suppose you'd call them. See you next time, and as always, Full Horse. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.